friends, welcome. I am your host for the evening, Goblin Queen, and tonight we are going to be reading some firsthand stories and looking into some folklore about fairies. Never gets old to me. The stories that I'm going to be pulling from come from the website Liminal Earth, and if you aren't familiar, this website is where people submit their encounters, their firsthand experiences with strange, anomalous things, be it balls of light, ghosts, cryptids, time slips, just anything weird and unexplainable. And then they also include the location of where the experience took place. So that's kind of interesting because you can look at the regional legends and folklore, and then also what I do on the video version, if you're watching on YouTube, is I go ahead and show Google Street View of the location of the story as I'm reading it. So you can also look at where the story took place. It gets pretty interesting, to me at least. I'm fascinated by different places. So, how it's going to go is I'm going to read a story from Liminal Earth, and then afterwards, if I have anything interesting to say either about the location where it took place, or the folklore that's regional to that area, or just anything kind of related that I find, and I'll also share any thoughts I have on it. We're going to get into some pretty interesting topics today, so I'm excited. This was very fun for me to research and put together, so. If all of that sounds interesting to you, let's go ahead and get started with our first story. So this one took place, they say, probably June 2015 in Posticciola, Italy, and it's called Fairies. I grew up in a large house in what seemed like the middle of nowhere to me when I was younger. To pass the time, me and my brother would make up stories, imagining all sorts of wondrous creatures that lived in the woods around us. One of our favorites was fairies. We spent weeks making a fairy garden under a large tree by the house and spent ages there, leaving offerings of sweets and glass crystals occasionally. One night, we were outside with our parents, and no matter what they say, I know I wasn't asleep. I remember my dreams well, but have always been able to distinguish them from reality. We were by the fairy garden, and while I don't remember exactly what day it was, I know it was warm. It was dark. We were looking for fireflies. Probably June. I remember seeing wonderfully colorful lights floating all around us. All warm shades of orange and red and pink and yellow, with some in hues of purple and blue. They were large, but not so large that I didn't think they were fireflies at first. I was young, and that was the only thing I thought they could be. I don't know what happened after that, but soon enough I was in bed, thinking of those lights. I have brought up that night to my parents many times over the years, even to my brother. But they always say that they remember no such thing happening, and my brother denies ever truly wanting to make the fairy garden with me, despite how enthusiastic he used to be. Now the garden sits abandoned and forgotten. It hurts to see it like that to some extent, but it doesn't feel the same as it used to, and I don't think I could bring myself to enter it. Not anymore. All right, so that is a very lovely story, and seeing balls of light is something that seems to be consistently common throughout recorded fairy sightings and folklore up until modern day experiences. So as I was saying at the beginning, one of the great things about reading stories from Liminal Earth is finding beautiful places I would never otherwise know about. And Posticciola is one of those places. It is this beautiful hamlet that Google Translate tells me that the name of the village means small place. That's definitely a more modern name for it, Posticciola, because this is a medieval settlement. It dates back to the 9th century, with one article I read saying that there's historical evidence of the town dating back to the year 898. So, quite old and also quite small. There are around 50 or so inhabitants of Postecola. It's absolutely stunning, obviously rich in history. It was once part of an ancient settlement, which is now a famous archaeological site, that was inhabited by the Sabine peoples prior to Roman invasion. So while I do love fairies, the culture that I know the most about when it comes to fairy lore is Ireland. So I didn't really know anything about Italian fairies or Italian fairy folklore. If they had their own name for fairies, if they had their own unique folklore surrounding fairies. So I started looking into that a little bit. And it turns out that they have many names and many different types of fairies or fairy-like creatures. Really depends on what part of Italy you are in. I will say, unfortunately, it wasn't very easy to find too many sources about Italian fairies. One of my main sources is this three-part article by Raffaella Benvenuto, who even admits that, quote, "Unfortunately, references to this vast body of lore can be fragmentary and quite difficult to find outside of the writings of folklorists or anthropologists, or the occasional collection of folktales gathered directly from oral sources, since modern life seems to have eradicated most of those beliefs from the minds of people." End quote. So, she does list sources for what she wrote, but most of them are in Italian, so I can't read them. I don't read Italian, unfortunately. There are a variety of names for fairies. One of them is fada, which translates as fairy. Another word or term, just kind of generally for fairy, is yana or yanas. And that term has a very interesting tie to these archaeological tombs that are found around Italy called domas de yanas, which means fairy houses or house of the fairies. These are named fairy houses probably because of their very small square or rectangular openings and these narrow passages that connects them. The average human adult would need to crawl in order to kind of squeeze themselves even just to get into the entrance. So legends and folklore has suggested that diminutive beings have created these burial mounds as dwellings, perhaps. Here's what Raffaella writes about the Domus de Janas. "In the island of Sardinia, isolated from the mainland, not only in a geographical sense, the local fairies are oddly reminiscent of their Celtic equivalents. Diminutive, about 1 foot tall, and white-skinned, the Janas live in underground caves. Though the Sardinian Domas de Janas, literally translating to fairy houses, are actually prehistoric burial grounds. They only go out at night in order to prevent the sun from burning their skin, which can also become luminous when they have to move about on moonless nights. Janas specialize in weaving the finest, most beautiful fabrics, as well as in baking delicious wafer-thin bread. For these purposes, they use gold looms and silver sieves. They are also said to accompany their work with the sweetest, most beautiful singing, which can sometimes be heard from afar. Like other kinds of fairies, they possess treasures of gold, silver, and jewels, guarded by horrible insect-like creatures called Muscas Mecidas, which hide in the treasure chests, ready to attack any would-be thieves. According to some tales, if the treasure of the Janas is stolen, it quickly changes into coals and ashes in the hands of the thief." So just that last bit is very reminiscent of the Celtic fairies. If you are given or you take fairy gold from the Celtic fairy lands back to the human world, the next morning you'll find that it's just leaves or detritus. The weird insects are pretty unique, though, I think. Pictures of them make them look like weird big flies. Pretty creepy. That's just one example, the Janas, of one of the types of fairies that can be found in Italy, and that's on the island of Sardinia. Another interesting source I found is this map of mythological creatures in Italy that's printed by Pucca Press. Pucca, of course, is a Celtic fairy. And maybe you have seen these before. They're really cool, these beautiful illustrated maps. They have them of the United States, Ireland, Wales, England, Scotland, a couple other places. You can buy them as prints. But basically, it shows the outline of a country, in this case, Italy, and then in each little region, it has an illustration of a monster or a mythological creature that is known in that area. And then on the website for Pucca Press, they give a little description of each creature that they drew, and there are a couple of different fairy-like creatures on here. So we'll probably come back to Italian fairies at some point because it seems like there's quite a few of them, and maybe I can dig up some more sources in the meantime. All right, let's go ahead and move on to our next story. This one was submitted by Elizabeth and took place in Santa Ana, California in July of 2005. It's called Two Fairies. So this happened a few years ago when I lived at my parents' house. Every night before bed, I go to the restroom. That way, I don't wake up in the middle of the night and disturb my slumber. I always turn off the light and close the door after I'm done. One night, I was in bed falling asleep, and as I was drifting off with my phone in my right hand, I sensed something in my room. So I woke up. When I woke up, I saw two fairies. I'm honestly not sure, but they looked like fairies. They both were about 6 to 8 inches tall, and each looked a little different from the other. They had gorgeous, colorful, luminescent wings, and I can't recall the color of their bodies. I was just so mesmerized by their wings. Their feet were very different. Both were webbed, but one looked like a frog, rounder, the other like a turtle, pointy. As soon as I saw them, I slowly and carefully reached with my right hand to grab my phone so I could turn on my flash. When I was reaching, they came at me with full force and pinned me down. I could not move at all or scream for help. I couldn't feel them touching me. It just felt like some sort of force holding me down. Next thing I remember is waking up a few hours later. I thought to myself, was this a dream? I remember getting out of bed and looking around and going to the restroom, and the light was on and the door was open. I never leave the light on or leave the door open. So to me, that was very weird. I started to question myself at this point. Did I hallucinate? Did I go to the restroom and was I in a trance and just knocked out and was dreaming? It made me feel like this actually happened and it wasn't a dream. I don't ever remember feeling like I was in danger or they had any bad energy, but it did scare me because nothing like this ever happened to me. The spookiest thing that happened to me before this was in my room when I was sitting on my ottoman working on some crafts. I felt two fingers tap me twice on my lower back and ran down my back, and no one was there. But this experience was another level of spooky. I could not sleep in my room for the next few days, and I had to sleep in my younger brother's bed because of how shaken I was with that situation. It was definitely a weird but cool interaction that I will never forget. Okay, so I could see someone reading that story and just putting it down to sleep paralysis because they couldn't move, and then the next thing they know, they'd woke up, so I don't know. I mean, they said they could move before that. They were trying to reach for their phone. So, I'm not sure, but very alarming to have the fairies rush you and pin you down. So, the feet were interesting. I did read one experience in a different video that mentioned webbed feet. This was an episode I did called Blue Fairies. But that's a pretty unique detail, I would say. I mean, having webbed feet, you would associate with maybe something aquatic, some kind of aquatic creature. So they said that they didn't feel like they were in danger or that there was any kind of ill intent, I suppose, but understandably it did scare them and they didn't want to sleep in their room for a few days. I also have read another story from the Fairy Census about a young child being in bed and having fairies, well, they called them brownies in their story, pinning them down to their bed. And they had little spears too. So with that, I think we will keep on plugging away and read our next story. This was submitted by Jordan and was said to have taken place in May of 2023 in Kentucky. And it's called Fae Traps on Horn Hollow Trail. I went to Carter Caves in Kentucky with some friends to camp and hike the Horn Hollow Trail, as well as explore the cave that is open for self-guided tours with a permit. This trail and cave had to have been one of the strangest I've been to. The trail is considered moderate, but there are steep drop-offs and cliffs. There were numerous fae traps. If you don't know what fae traps are, they can take a few different forms. On this trail, they were hanging branches and vines that would form a circle to walk through. Sounds innocent enough, but they are traps. On this trail, they were easy to avoid, but as we got deeper into the woods and closer to the cave, they got more dangerous. Some went down smaller paths off the main trail, and if you weren't paying attention, you could have easily gone off trail and gotten lost. Others led right off cliff edges. We eventually came to one that went across the whole trail. Avoiding it went one step off the cliff, plunging down a few hundred feet. My friends and I all agreed that the fae in this area were up to something more than just tricks. It felt downright malevolent. The energy here was also very strange. For being a busy campground, we had the whole trail to ourselves, and it was very silent, like the forest absorbed all the energy around us. The caves here are also known for goblins, although we didn't encounter any. So, I haven't heard of this term or the concept of fae traps before, but I do know the kind of thing that they're referring to. Long, woody vines that hang in big loops in wooded areas. I definitely see those from time to time on my walks. And they do certainly capture the imagination. I always thought of them as being some sort of doorway, or imagined them as being some sort of doorway. And I always take the opportunity to step through them, if I'm able, hoping that maybe I'll pop out into some other time or realm. But maybe I'm ensnaring myself in traps every time I do this. The author doesn't say what the consequences of setting off these fae traps are, but in my head I'm kind of likening it to fairy rings or toadstool rings. Actually, I guess they did say that you could, if you end up stepping through them, you could plunge off a cliff, so maybe that's the trap. They also mentioned at the end that the caves they were hiking near were known for goblins. Obviously, I had to look into this. So I think they were mixing the rumors of goblins with a different cave called Mammoth Cave, some 200 or so miles west. About 100 miles west of Mammoth Cave is Hopkinsville, Kentucky, famous for the Hopkinsville Goblins story, where a family claimed little goblin-like beings in silvery suits laid siege to their farmhouse one night. This event, the story, has become one of the most cited UFO cases and is even credited with the coining of the phrase Little Green Men. If you aren't familiar, I did talk about this in my very first Goblins video. I have a Goblins playlist if you're interested. So it's perhaps these same goblins that are said to dwell within the caves of Mammoth Cave National Park. I didn't really find too many references as to what goblin rumors there might be when it comes to Mammoth Cave. My guess is because of its somewhat proximity to the Hopkinsville Goblins case, maybe those are the goblin rumors. The Carter Caves, where our story took place, do have a reputation for being haunted, with a circulating legend of love, tragedy, and death regarding two young Cherokee lovers said to have taken place on the site. However, a comment on the Carter Caves State Resort Park page on hauntedplaces.org from a former cave guide claims that this legend was manufactured to drum up business. So, if it's actually haunted, I can't. can't say. Well, that is all I'm going to have for tonight, fortunately. I actually was going to read another one and realized that I had already read it. So if you do like this format, I do have a playlist on YouTube that is called Liminal Earth, and it has all my Liminal Earth videos. And like I said, if you watch the video version, you can see the different locations, and there's some pretty interesting and beautiful places, as there were in this episode. And if you like the subject of fairies, I also have a playlist that's dedicated to my fairy videos, which fairies come up pretty frequently, but I do have videos that are dedicated solely to the subject. So I will be back soon, but thank you so much for tuning in today, and I hope you have a wonderful, magical evening. And until next time, take care and good night.